let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. God's Indescribable Gift by Jeffrey Canteen is designed to help the reader get to know God on a deeper spiritual level. Jeffrey spent much of his life as a non-believer. He began to grow disillusioned with the philosophers and philosophizers of the world in his young adulthood. Through his relationship with his future wife and a budding personal yearning to find an answer to questions the world did not have, he grew into a strong personal faith. Within that faith, his great desire was to know God firsthand, to work towards having a vital relationship with and through God. God's Indescribable Gift was written as both a conduit for his personal view of prayer, faith, and fellowship, and a guide to any Christian seeking a deeper relationship with God. The father of four, an elder within his church, a Sunday school teacher, an occasional preacher, a youth volunteer worker, Jeffrey Canteen, author of God's Indescribable Gift, is our guest on This Week in America. Jeffrey, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Excellent job with the book in reaching out to other people like yourself struggling to find some answers. What was the inspiration for writing this book? I know you went through this journey, but talk about the motivation to actually write the book and maybe help other people through some of the situations you were going through.
Well, I'll start with a very short testimony and then go from there. At one point, God just really impressed on me Jeremiah 33:3, which was, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things you do not know." And I thought, well, if he said that, I'm going to do it. And from that point on, there was a lot of night sessions where I would wake up and there would be verses and concepts and just, you know, all sorts of stuff running through my mind. And they were connected in ways I'd never considered before. And when all was said and done, two things. First off, I really believe God was working with me on this. And I believe that God wants a closer relationship with all of his people. And so I thought, well, he gave me this for a reason, so I'll put it down and try to get it out there.
Do you think for most of us go through, maybe what you were going through, sort of accepting the fact that we have very little of God's presence in our life? Is that something we just sort of take for granted? We don't go through like you did and try to figure out, I really want more of a presence.
I think it's possibly prevalent in people who have grown up in a church.
Yes.
Because the church tends to be, and this is not a criticism, but it tends to be programmatic, and there's really not much call to a deeper walk. And in some ways, we've reduced our faith to cliches and catchphrases. We have the answer to a thing, but we don't really enter into God's presence to talk with him about it.
With us on the program is Jeffrey Canteen, that's spelled C-A-N-T-I-N-E. The book is God's Indescribable Gift. We'll give you information where the book's available, how you can get a copy as we go through the program. Wherever books are sold, you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on and get information directly. There are those that would say God's salvation has given us everything we need to experience God's presence. Talk about that aspect of it.
Well, it has, and without salvation, there is no connection with God because we've broken our connection. The Bible describes us as enemies of God. And if you read in John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking with Nicodemus, he says, unless you've been born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. But then he goes on to explain a little bit about that, where he says, if you're not born of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit are like the wind. You see what it does, and you hear it maybe, but you have no idea where it's coming from or where it's going. And according to Paul, the person who hasn't been born again, spiritual things are foolish to him because he's not, you know, they're spiritually discerned. I believe our spirit is dead until God brings the new life. So the salvation is certainly critical, and the salvation is all we need for our standing or position before God. but that doesn't necessarily translate into a close personal walk or relationship with him. That needs to be pursued through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, finding out who God is, what he's like, and what he's about. And it's not automatically given to us at salvation.
People, you talk about fellowship with God. What do you understand fellowship with God to mean? What's that all about?
Well, we spend a lot of time talking about relationship, and it starts there. There has to be a relationship. But, you know, in your own life, there are certain people you just relate to a lot better
Yes.
than other people. And that produces a feeling of fellowship. And the fellowship is created by having similar values, similar purposes, and ultimately a similar character. And that's different from just a plain relationship.
With us on the program, Jeffrey Cantine, C-A-N-T-I-N-E. The book is God's Indescribable Gift, published by WestbowPress.com. If you go to their website, you'll find that Amazon. Jeffrey, is that the best place to go, Westbow, Amazon, to find the book?
Those are the two I know of particularly. I haven't seen it on bookshelves per se, but Westbow has it on their website and Amazon has it on theirs.
And we'll have those links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, as well, so you can link on and get all the information and order the book there as well. How do we enter into the kind of fellowship that you talk about, you talked about briefly there, and you talk about in your book, God's Indescribable Gift? How do we enter into that?
Well, again, it's all contingent upon Scripture, because God is, you know, his ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts. So if we want to know anything about God, he has to initiate the understanding. And he's done that through the Bible. And as we read the Bible, one of the things I did touch on was it's not just reading the Bible to learn facts or to learn how the Bible relates to our world, but God primarily gave us the Bible to teach us about him. And so if we come to the Scripture with the intent of learning who God is and what he's like, we tend to learn a lot more quickly than if we're just reading it as we would another book.
Why is it so important, do you think, for us to understand God's purpose? I know that was something, one of the motivators that drove you to really do research and to look in this area. Why is that so important to understand?
Because the Scriptures are not a consistent method of God dealing with people. There are a lot of different ways, and, you know, with a lot of different people.
Yes.
But they're always consistent with God's purpose. We were created to be with him, and that was before the foundation of the world. And we're going to end in heaven with him. And so everything he does in our lives is designed to promote that. But if we don't understand that, if we just judge it by the circumstances, it's real easy to think God maybe isn't what he says he is, or he's not consistent, or he doesn't really care about me.
The title of the book is God's Indescribable Gift. Interesting title. How did you come up with the title for the book?
Well, initially I was going to title the book God's Eternal Purpose, but when I Googled it, I found out there's a whole lot of books out there with that title. And so I kind of shelved it. But as I was doing the chapter on the fellowship of Jesus' sufferings, it struck me in a way that it never had before, just how he lived his life. The book of Hebrews says that he became like us in all things, which is, of course, incomprehensible. But, you know, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and forsaken of men. He was born in a stable. He lived on the wrong side of the tracks, as opposed to, you know, as shown when they said, hey, we found the Christ and he's from Nazareth. And they said, well, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So he was in this really difficult situation throughout his whole life. And he didn't have to be. Because without getting too technical, salvation is basically a legal term. We've incurred a debt, and for us to be made right with God, that debt needs to be paid. And I think the good examples are the words redeemed and ransomed, like with a pawnbroker or a kidnap victim.
Yes.
And the price needed to be paid to get us restored to our rightful place, but he went way beyond that in identifying with everything we do in life. And you know, Hebrews again says that he was tempted in all things just as we are. So it's not like you can go to God and say, you don't get it, you don't understand. He does understand. And he did it specifically so that we could identify with him and relate to him on much deeper levels. And when I got through all that, my response actually honestly was, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I said, okay, that would make a good title.
And it does. It's so descriptive of what you're talking about, what you're addressing in the book. Jeffrey Cantine, our guest on the program, if you're Googling, that's Cantine, God's indescribable gift. How do God's ways differ from his purpose?
That's obviously a fairly tough question, and I might be out of my depth here. His purpose is understandable from beginning to end, that he created us to be with him, and he's going to do whatever it takes to do that. But since people are so different and their situations are so different, he deals with a lot of us differently than he does with other people. Like I did not have a Damascus Road experience. My conversion was other. So his ways are, you know, he knows the end from the beginning. He has all wisdom and all sovereignty. And so he can arrange things however he needs to arrange them to bring us to where he wants us to be. And while his purpose is understandable, this Bible says that his ways are inscrutable. So I can understand generally why he deals with me the way he does, but I can't understand the particulars about why he deals with me the way he does.
How do you see the dynamic between, I'll call it God's sovereignty, and our own free will, something that I think many of us think about and possibly struggle with?
I did.
Okay.
Sovereignty, by the way, means rulership.
Yes.
He is the owner of everything he's created, and he has a right to rule it for his own good pleasure and in his own way. He has chosen to give us a free will, and that does confuse the issue. Because then every time he does something we don't like, we think, well, you know, you've gone back on your word. You've given me free will, but now you're arranging things so that I can't act on it. And I liken that to a parent. Even though they want their children to develop, you know, not necessarily independent, but interdependent.
Yes.
But they also steer them away from harmful things and try to train them in things that are good for them and beneficial for them. And God's the same way. You know, he told Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree because the knowledge of evil is not something you need. But of course, we knew better. And so the friction comes between our natural desires and God's desire for us, and God having taken responsibility for our well-being. He trains us, he gives us direction, and he gives discipline when it's necessary. I hope that helps.
Well, it does, and it was unfair to ask you that and not give you 4 or 5 hours to really get into it, because there's so much you can talk about there. You went through such a transformation in your life, probably still going through that. How can our faith be developed to enable us to please God and experience his peace, much like you were able to do? How do we get there?
Well, the first thing is to realize that it is a gift of God. Faith comes from God. But we have to act on it. If we don't either believe him or do what he says, then our faith never develops. If I can take a short little excerpt from the book, when Jacob slept at Bethel on his journey down to Laban's, when he was running away from Esau, he had a dream. He saw a ladder from heaven and angels climbing up and down the ladder. And when he woke up, he said, wow, surely God was in this place, and I didn't know it. Well, in all this, God reiterated to him the covenant he had made with Abraham. And he, you know, all the promises. And Jacob's response was, if God will be with me on my journey and give me clothes to wear and food to eat and bring me home safely to my father's house, then he will be my God. Well, he didn't want faith. He wanted the results. He wanted the completed picture before he would act on it. And I think it's worth noting that Jacob left that place after this unbelievable encounter with God that he even recognized as an encounter with God. And he was the exact same person he was when he laid down. It didn't change him a bit. He was still self-oriented, swindler, the whole nine yards.
Yes.
And it took 20 years before God brought him to a point where he was able to effect permanent change in Jacob. And we're the same. If we ignore God's instructions, or more likely, if we desire the result before taking action, there's no opportunity for our faith to grow.
With us on the program, Jeffrey Canteen. He's author of the book, God's Indescribable Gift. You'll find it at westboropress.com, Amazon. Click on our website, and you can get all the information on the book. Boy, time is going by so quickly. So much great material in the book. Talk about who might benefit from reading God's Indescribable Gift, a more or a less developed Christian, or both?
I think both. I think, obviously, a lot of it is a result of growing in God and growing in understanding toward God. But at the same time, the methodology for coming to know God better is to attend to his word, pay attention to what he tells us, and act on it. And so anyone who is really desirous of a closer relationship with God can do these things. They're available to every one of his children. You don't have to be a spiritual giant. You don't have to be real far along. You just want to be heading in the right direction, and God will bring it to pass.
As you were writing your book, God's Indescribable Gift, what did this do to your faith? Did it grow during the writing process for the book?
It did, because the other thing is, one of the issues we have, I think, today is we tend to want our faith to grow through experiences and through events. God wants our faith to grow through coming to know who he is and what he's about. And so through all of this, I really believe that the Spirit had a real big hand in my thinking. And to just see all, as Paul would put it, the manifold grace of God, it certainly gave me a much stronger faith in the God that I believe in and the God I want to follow. So,
you mentioned events, and it's interesting. A couple minutes left, but I find this fascinating, the topics, some of them contentious that the church has to deal with. What are some of those, do you think, and does the book address any of these issues that currently are being broadly discussed in churches?
Well, these are always touchy subjects.
Exactly.
But I know the political viewpoints can differ widely. The views of Scripture can differ widely. I guess one of the things that's gaining ground is that the Bible isn't really God's word, it just contains God's word, you know, which is a whole lot different from divinely inspired, living and active.
Yes.
And again, I think the way that these can be dealt with is to go to God. If I can get, it's going to sound like a deviation, but a verse that really struck me strongly and it really affected my prayer life was in Psalm 119, and the psalmist said, I've told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. And thinking about that, it's like, I'm really good at the first part of that. I'm really good at coming to God and telling him all my concerns and all my issues, but then I usually don't stick around to hear what he has to say about it.
And then, yes.
The third part is the best part, because and again, a little sorry for the delay here, but like for us, law is something outside of us that's forced upon us to regulate our behavior. In God's case, that isn't so. The law is an extension of his character. And so as we learn his law, we learn his character, and it just changes us. It transforms us completely. Like Moses on the mountain, after 40 days of receiving the law, just burst out with, "Show me your glory." It was like he couldn't help it.
A couple minutes left, and I want to ask you this, because you've reached a place of peace in your life, and it took a while to get there, like many of us, sort of, I don't necessarily say rebellious, but maybe skeptical, and you wanted some answers for yourself. How do you approach prayer in your daily life, and has that grown? And maybe, I said a transformational life, it still may be a transformational life for you. How has it grown?
Well, I would hope it's still a transformational life, because there's really no postgraduate work in discipleship. But like I said, I originally had kind of the business meeting approach to God. This is what I need. These are our problems. Can you deal with them? But especially as I've gone through writing the book, it's turned into a personal encounter with God. I talk to God, God talks to me, he tells me stuff I could never figure out, and his peace just follows from that, because I trust him in all things. Well, not as well as I'd like to, but anyway, so the change from, let me just go with another thing, like I used to have a Martha approach to prayer, where I was so bothered and distracted by so many things. Mary, on the other hand, was sitting at his feet listening to Jesus, and he said, "That's the good part." And the other things are important.
Yes.
But I've learned to some degree anyway, to desire the good part, to sit there and just listen to God tell me about himself.
Well, and you share that so well in your book. I mentioned a Sunday school teacher that has to be very rewarding to sit there and to talk to the young people and see their faces as suddenly they're getting answers to questions you had at that age but never got a satisfactory answer. So you are shaping the lives of these people and so many more with the book God's Indescribable Gift. Jeffrey Canteen is the author. That's Cantine. The book is available at westbowpress.com in the bookstore, the publisher of the book. You'll find it at Amazon. You can go to our website, link in, get information on the book. Are you working on anything now? You have done such a wonderful job with this book. Will there be a follow-up, do you think?
That, and I don't want to make this sound like something it's not, but that'd be totally up to God. This book pretty much wrote itself under God's guidance. If he does that with me on a different subject, I mean, there's some things I'm kicking around in my head that I would like to explore, but whether they'll ever make it to book form, I don't know.
Yeah, a great answer, and we'll be looking forward to more books from you, hopefully soon. But in the meantime, we've got God's Indescribable Gift, receiving excellent reviews. Jeffrey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. I've enjoyed this. Thank you.
Thank you as well. I've enjoyed it immensely.
God's Indescribable Book, the name of Jeffrey's book. You'll find it available at God's Indescribable Gift, the name of the book. You'll find it available at westbowpress.com, the bookstore, Amazon, all the usual places. You can find more information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.